as well, wouldn't it? All right, back to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Many of you, if not most of you, have read this portion of Scripture, I'm sure. And maybe heard it preached from. But it is more relevant now than ever. This passage is more relevant in our day than ever before. It's like a graveyard. A graveyard gathers more and more bones over the years, doesn't it? And the day in which we live compares to no other in the sense that it's more spiritually dead and dry than any other before. I really believe that. More people, for one thing. So this passage applies to 1996 more than any other age. All right, let's look at it. Get right into it. Just have a couple of headings here. True preacher. What the Lord shows his preacher. All right, let's look at it. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. All true prophets. All true prophets, like Ezekiel, were hand-picked by God Almighty. Hand-picked. As were the apostles. As are all true preachers. It's no different now, though they don't go by the title of prophet or apostle, yet preacher. All of them, prophets, apostles, preachers, are hand-picked by God Almighty. Our Lord walked around Galilee one day, hand-picking his apostles. And he told them later on, he reminded them, he said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." He reminded them of that. And so it is. Any man, and it goes without saying, woman, Scriptures expressly forbid that. But any man who takes it upon himself to enter the ministry is not of God. Not of God. You'll see in the Scriptures how that every prophet, every apostle were not men who were seeking to get into the ministry. They were working men. Every one of them. Working class men. And while they were working, doing what they did faithfully, faithful in a few things, not failures. Some men say, "Well, I failed at this, I failed at that, I must be meant to be a preacher." God's preachers are not failures. Elijah was out plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Why don't you men try that? I'm trying to learn on one. 12 is hard work. Well, they were hand-picked. They weren't seeking to enter the ministry. And that would describe 99.9% of these false prophets today. You've heard it so often. All right. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out." Look at it. Verse 1. "It carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Set me down." Many people, many of these preachers, as back then, many prophets, said, and many say, that they have the Spirit of God upon them, don't they? As a matter of fact, that's the most popular label that's given to preachers and churches today, and we're a Spirit-filled church. Right? Well, how do you know? How do you know? How can you tell a true prophet from a false one? How can you tell a Spirit-filled prophet from a false one? And there are many, many false ones. How can you tell? Scripture tells us to try them, but how do you tell? How do you try the spirits, as he said in 1 John 4:1? How? How do you tell the difference? His message. That's number one, his message. A prophet, back then a prophet, an apostle, a preacher, is a messenger. Not a socializer, he's a messenger. Oh, he's given to hospitality, but that's not his ministry primarily. He's a messenger sent by God with one message. One message, and I can sum it all up by this. Try the message. One message. If he's a true prophet, if he's a true apostle, if he's a true preacher, this will be his one message over and over and over again. Salvation is of the Lord. That'll be his message. That sums it all up. Sums it all up. I wish I could quote what the pastor Wednesday night said, that Spurgeon said. I wish I'd have written that down. He talked about the salvation of sinner, what we mean by salvation of the Lord. Salvation being of the Lord is the bringing of a sinner from the dunghill, from the gutter, from the dunghill, bringing him all the way to the throne of God. Everything from that to bringing, or from the raising to the bringing, the final consummation of his salvation is of the Lord. Everything. All the way. No variation on that thing. That's the message of the messenger. Salvation's of the Lord. Well, let's look at what the Lord showed this preacher, all right? Look at verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord carried me out and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by or walk around about, walk all around this valley. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Bones, that is. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, this is the first thing the Lord teaches his preacher. He set him down and taught him a lesson. All right? One of the first things. This is not actually the first thing that God taught this man. This is one of them. He set him down. He taught him this. But go back to chapter 1, okay? There's 36 chapters before you get to 37. Look at chapter 1 in Ezekiel. Let's see what the first thing that this preacher, this prophet, learned. All right? The first lesson he learned. Look at chapter 1. You got it? All right. Chapter 1, look at verses. Let's just read a few here and there. Verses 3 through 5. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. There you go. Handpicked him, didn't he? He didn't say, anybody that wants to be a preacher, come. Anybody that wants to enter the ministry? No. Expressly unto Ezekiel. You know, I wish I could recall the exact place it's found, but there was a wicked king who was made king in Jerusalem or in Israel, and it says that he let anybody that wanted to be a priest. He let anybody that wanted to. And it went on to say he let the worst, the ones that were priests, were the worst of men. And that's today. It may have been Manasseh, I'm not sure, but that's today. And anybody that wants to be. Now, God expressly spoke to Ezekiel. Read on. The priest, and he distinguishes him here, the son of Buzi in the land of Chaldeans by the river Chebar, which Ezekiel. That one. Read on. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, Ezekiel said, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Ezekiel beheld a glorious sight. He beheld the glory of God in the face of a man. And that's exactly what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this ministry. And he went on to say, God who caused the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the excellency of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you want interesting reading, good reading, edifying, read the rest of this chapter. But it gives four faces that he had, which all describe, and we've preached on this, describe the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 10. It says, the likeness of their faces had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle. Verse 28. Down to verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard a voice. So what is the first thing the Lord taught this preacher?
Who he was.
Who Christ is. He saw the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So what was his message from then on? The glory of the Lord in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And that's the reason a man, if he ever sees Christ, a man, a true preacher, a messenger, if he ever, and that's the first thing they all see. If they ever get a glimpse of Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, everything else will pale. All other subjects will be trivial. And his message from then on out will be Christ.
All right, back to the text. So he saw Christ. He saw the true God. And this is eternal life, as we saw last Sunday. To know the true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, the sovereign God, the holy God. All right, in the next lesson he teaches them, every man, especially teaches his preacher, who's going to go tell every man the message. The next thing he teaches them, TULIP, basically saying, who God is, holy and sovereign. The next thing, and man is totally depraved. Man is dead in trespasses and sin. He's totally depraved. Man is totally unable to do anything to save himself. Man is dead. That's what he said there. He said, he set me down in the valley full of bones, and he caused me to walk all around. What do you see there, Ezekiel? I see bone. That's all I see. Observe human nature a little bit, preacher. Live out amongst them. That's where a man gets his training. Not hidden away in some monastery where there's no sin round about it. But out amongst them. Where? Out where? Out in the valley of dry bones. Until he learns that there are very many and they're very dry. The Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture says in Adam all died. The Scripture says by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all, for all have sinned They're buried dead. Mankind is buried dead. Any preacher whom God calls, that's what he sees, and that's what he says. Why say that all the time? Because that's what you see. You can't help but speak the things we see. Man is buried dead. My generation is dead. It's obvious. Look at our crowd here. Like one old prophet said, it's hard to get a crowd when the only attraction is God. It's hard to get a crowd in our day when the only attraction is gospel. Why is that? Man's dead. Very many, and they're very dry. Very dry. Well, look at the question the Lord asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? Can dead sinners live? And he answered. If you ask the true child of God, if you ask the true preacher about man's condition, can a man or a woman live before God? How can he be clean as born of a woman? How can man be just before a just God? He that's sinful. Can man live who is dead? Can he live? Look at Ezekiel's answer. He says, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can a man live only if God does something? Lord, you know. As our Lord said, with man it is impossible. That lays it in the dust, doesn't it? Doesn't that lay free will in the dust? With man, it is impossible. But with God, could Lazarus come out of the tomb? Can a dead sinner come to life? Can a dead sinner come to life? No. Can't come to life. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. Can Lazarus come out of that grave of his own free will? No. Did Lazarus come out of that grave? Yes. How did Lazarus come out of the grave? The Lord called him. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. God can bring them to life. Why say this? People all the time, my pastor said this Wednesday night, why preach election? Well, wasn't that a good message? Well, because it gives God the glory. Gives God all the glory. Secondly, it's in God's Word. Next, it's the sinner's only hope. Why preach it? It gives God all the glory. Which gives God the most glory? God electing a people and calling them from the dead? Or man having a little spark of life in him and him choosing God? Which gives God the most glory? God calling dead sinners. God choosing people. Right? Who gets the glory? Man choosing God or God choosing man? You see, why preach election? It gives God all the glory. Why preach election? It's what this book says. That's why. I need no better reason than that. It's what this book says. Why preach election? It's a dead sinner's only hope. And believe it or not, this is how God calls them. Elect. That's one of the first things he says to them. Saul, what's he going to preach to him? God hath chosen you. Preacher said, no, don't go preaching election. First, slip it up on them. No. Shout it from the rooftop. Dead sinners hear it, and they rejoice over their election. They can't make themselves live, but God can, if he will. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. And the foundation stand assured. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He alone decides which bones live, doesn't he? How many graveyards do you reckon there were back in Palestine in those days? Huh? The Lord set Ezekiel down in the midst of this one valley called Champagne Valley. Set him down in the midst of this one valley full of dry bones. You reckon there's any other valleys full of dry bones? Why, the whole world is full of graveyards. But Stan, the Lord set him down in the midst of this valley, didn't he? A particular valley, a particular preacher to a particular set of bones. Can these bones live? Can those bones live? No, Ezekiel isn't there. God didn't call a man, set him there. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. Looks pretty good. The fact that I'm here. You got me here on purpose. I know it's not in vain. I know the word of the Lord won't return in vain. It'll accomplish something. And God caused his spirit and his preacher to pass by that graveyard. And one day God caused his spirit and his preacher to pass by your old dead bones. Your old dead bones. Well, how can these bones live? Huh? How? Look at verse 4. He said unto me, Ezekiel, bring in a gospel quartet for the older bones. They love good singing. The older bones. Get you, Ezekiel, get you some clowns and some puppets for the younger bones. Young bones like that. Ezekiel, bring in the bones of some famous athlete. Bring in his bones to talk to the rest of the bones. Better yet, bring an entertainer, Ezekiel. I tell you who will do, Randy Travis. Have him sing Digging Up Bones. Show them a film. Get all the real young bones together and show them a film on hell. Scare them bones. Get your female bones together. Separate all the female bones and give them a little group to meet, a little prayer breakfast. Give those bones something to do, Ezekiel. Give those bones something to do. Make you one of those set of bones into a deacon. Make another set of those bones into deaconesses. Make you many committees of bones, societies of bones. What will they be after all this? Bones. Still very dry. What is he telling to do? It's what the world calls foolishness. That's the reason people aren't here this morning. It's what the world calls foolishness. What is he telling to do? One thing to make these bones live. What? Preach, Ezekiel.
Preach, prophesy, same word. Preach, Ezekiel. Preach? Yes, preach. Nothing else? Nothing else. What do I say? What should I say? Read on. Prophesy upon these bones and say, oh, ye dry bones, get out to your Sunday school quarterly. No. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. There's only one thing that'll give a dead sinner life. What's that? It's the word, which the scripture says is quick. Quicken thou me. Quick means alive. He said, my sheep hear my voice. That's the word. That's his voice. It's alive. He calls dead sinners restless. What happened? He lived. How? By the word of the Lord. And this is no less his word. Though it's not audible, it's written. And Peter said, we have a more sure word. Turn over there to 1 Peter, okay? Turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, just as God Almighty created all things by His Word, God created everything by His Word.
And the Scripture says He upholds all things by His Word. Not natural causes, His Word. The sun is hanging up there. Why? Because God says, hang. Because God says, stay there. The reason it doesn't explode, God says, stay together until the time. It's upheld by the Word of His power. And dead sinners are brought to life when God says, live. They're recreated, they're regenerated when the Spirit of life comes by His Word and says, live. Not before, not until. What is His Word? What is God's Word? Look at 1 Peter 1. There's one message. You know, preachers like to say this, that they preach God's Word, don't they? They don't want to be thought of as a heretic. What does your preacher preach? The Bible. He's his Bible. He believes the Bible. Well, you know, what are they going to say? What else are they going to say? Huh, Sam? What would they say? What do your preacher preach? Heresy. He preaches the Bible, they say. He preaches the Word. He preaches the Word. What in the Word? There's a lot in there. What does he preach in the Word? He preaches the Bible. Like that fellow that was asked by somebody, what do you believe? He said, I believe what my preacher believes. He said, what does your preacher believe? He said, he believes what the church believes. What does your church believe? The same thing. Preaches the Bible. What? Everybody claims that. He preaches the Word. What? Preaches the gospel. Wait a minute. Now you're getting close. Look at 1 Peter 1. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you, which you heard, old dead sinner. Which you heard. The gospel. Not just the Bible. The gospel. Not just the word preached. The gospel. What's the gospel? We need to ask that, don't we? What's the gospel? Lots call him gospel. He's the gospel this. He's the gospel that. We've got a gospel quartet. Got a gospel preacher. Got a gospel church. Gospel lighthouse church. Gospel, 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 gospel. What's the gospel? Look at Romans 1. All right? Romans 1. Wouldn't dare take it for granted everybody in here knew what the gospel was. Well, Paul tells us here in Romans 1. Romans 1. What is the gospel? It's the Word which He quickens people by. And it's the only message He quickens people by. This is the only gospel there is. Any variation on it's not the gospel. This is the gospel. All right, Romans 1. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What's the gospel? It's the gospel of God. Number one, it's God's gospel. He thought it. Wasn't the invention of man. God purposed it. God planned it. It's of God. God thought it. God bought it. God brought it. God causes it to succeed. This gospel of God is about God. In the beginning, God. When a man preaches the gospel, that's where he starts. Every time, without exception. Where does he start? Not with man, but with God. The purpose of God, ordered in all things and sure. The covenant of God. Before the gospel, good news is this covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. And it can't fail. Why? It's God's covenant. This man-made gospel talks about a covenant we make with God and we're able to break it and it won't work. There's no gospel in there. The gospel is God's gospel. God's covenant. It's about God. Gives Him all the glory. It's the gospel that gives Him all the glory.
The gospel that says it's all of Him, it's for God, of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. It's God's gospel. It's about God. Read on. Which He promised, it's God's gospel, which He promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scripture. It's an old gospel. Tell me the old story. How old? Well, as old as Paul. I'll go back further than that. Well, it's as old as David. Further than that? Well, it's as old as Abraham. Further than that? It's as old as Abel. It's further than that. Go back to Genesis 3:15 when the first one to preach it introduced it. It's God's gospel.
He's the one that first preached it. Makes it pretty important preaching, doesn't it, John? Jesus.
God came to the first sinners. He said, "What am I going to preach?" Gospel.
What sinners need?
Gospel. Well, go on. What is this gospel? It's God's gospel. It's promised. It's the old gospel promised in the Old Testament. Any preacher that says he got the old Bible and the new Bible, he's ignorant. He's an ignoramus. And chances are he's not preaching the gospel. Verse 3, it's concerning His Son, Jesus. It's God's gospel concerning His Son. What is the gospel? It's God's gospel concerning His Son. And it goes on to talk about how He's made of the seed of David and so forth, according to the flesh. A God's Son, eternal Son. A child is born, but the Son's given. Why? He's the sent one. Why? For a reason. Concerning God's Son. It's concerning what He did, who He is, where He is now, what He has done. It's not concerning us. The gospel is... The gospel is concerning what this one with all power will do with all flesh over whom He has authority. It's concerning His Son. And whether or not the fact that we believe in Him, whether or not we believe in Him or made willing, is up to Him. It's according to Him. That's the gospel. And bless God, He's willing that many believe. And He makes many willing in the day of His power. What's the day of His power? Gospel preaching. What I'm doing now. What's that? Declaring He has all power. You make man a puppet. That's what a woman said to my wife. You make man a puppet. God has control of the strings. He does. He said, "I work all things." Go, you want to call it that? I am His puppet. I like it that way. I like being drawn with cords of love. Don't you? I like being controlled by an all-wise, all-sovereign God. I like that. Don't cut the strings. What happens to a puppet when you cut the strings? He falls in a pile. If God leaves me alone, I'm a goner. I'll be God's puppet. Say that to the next person that tells you that. Say, "That's right. I'm God's puppet." Don't apologize. That just make man dead. He is dead. That's the whole point. He is dead. Well, how does he live? Tell him to do something. He's dead. What are you telling him? God lives. That'll bring him to life.
God's pleased to it with.
I don't understand. Ask one who's dead. He'll tell you. He understands that. How'd you live, Lazarus? He called me. Didn't you do anything? No. How are you living now? Didn't you take the first step? Man, I was dead. I was dead. Bernard, you say, "Do you know what dead is? It's graveyard dead." That's the reason God sent Ezekiel down to this graveyard. Says, "These are bones, aren't they?" "Yep, bones, a bone, isn't it?" "Yeah, bone. What about them? Describe them." "They're dry.
according to modern man may be somewhat bony, but he got a little moisture in him, little something, little spark of something there. Ezekiel, what'd you learn? He's very dead and he's very dry. How's he going to live, Ezekiel? Well, you know. Preach, Ezekiel. Preach. What'll I preach? Tell these bones to hear the word of the Lord. How are they going to hear? How are they going to hear except they be given ears to hear? Turn back to the text now. Ezekiel 37:5. And at Romans 1, verse 4 says, Christ is declared to be the Son. The gospel declares him to be the Son of God with power. All power. All right, back to the text. Now I'll hurry. You know, Lord, you're sovereign. Only if you decide that a man lives will he live. Only if you decide, only if you're willing will that man be made willing in the day of your power. Well, is he willing? Well, that's why Ezekiel's there. Is he willing? Oh, he's more than willing. Look at verse 5. He said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, how are they going to live? Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I. You see, people, this is the difference between true gospel preaching and false. The false gospel today is calling on man to do something. They're telling man, if you will accept Jesus, if you will take the first, if you will repent, if you will be baptized, if you will join a church, if you, God will save you. That's not the way God saves. That's not the way it's done. Man's dead. Look back at chapter 36. Just browse through here. Chapter 36, verse 21. Why does God say he had pity for his holy name? He said that all the way through Isaiah, didn't he? Those of you who have read it, doesn't he say that several times? He said, I'm not doing this for your sake. Didn't he? He said, I believe it's chapter 43, he says that it's not fit for burning. The isles are a very small thing. All inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Grasshoppers. Not fitful. He said, I had pity for my holy name's sake, whom you profane. I'm saving you, he said, not for your sake, but for my holy name's sake. I'm going to get glory out of this. You're going to reap the benefit, but this thing's for my glory, God said. That's the reason the gospel is first and foremost to the glory of God. God's not just some sugar daddy who's wanting to help everybody. God's God. God's just not some benevolent fella up there, old man upstairs who's just dying to be good to everybody. God is God. And he happens to be good. You see? He said, I had pity for my name's sake. Read verse 22. Thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. There it is. But for my holy name's sake. Verse 23. Well, what are you going to do? I will sanctify my great name. And they'll know. Look at the last part of that verse. They shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 24. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you. And I will bring you out into your own land. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put in you. I will take away the stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit upon you. Verse 29, I will save you. Verse 30, I will multiply you. I will. The difference between true preaching and false is true preaching says this is all of God's will, not man. We say, well, where does man's responsibility and man's faith and repentance, where's all that come in? Well, because God said, I will, they shall. You see, you don't get the cart before the horse. You don't give man the glory, and God gets the rest. You give God all the glory. And repentance and faith and believing, they will.
Look at verse 36. He says, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Do you see that? You see it, don't you, Rick? God had already purposed it. God planned it. God spoke it. It's going to be done. He's going to do it. Well, what's going to happen?
They're going to ask Him to do it.
They're going to pray. They're going to seek Him. They're going to call on the name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why will they call?
Because God said they would. That's the reason we don't go begging people. We don't go begging people to do anything for the Lord. We beg the Lord to do something for people.
According to our men, it is, and we ought to be praying to men. Oh, man, won't you let Jesus, won't you let God, won't you let...
Ain't no, Spurgeon said, no Arminian ever prays like an Arminian. They always pray like a Calvinist. They always say, oh, God, save us. Oh, God, won't you do something? But they turn around and mess it up with the preaching, don't they, Stan? They say to me, won't you do something?
They will. You just preach the message, Ezekiel. You just preach. Watch them bones live. Watch them. Read on. And the scripture says that the gospel came unto you. You heard it, didn't you? You were dead. You heard it. Look at verse 6. He said, I will lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you. I'll cover you with skin. What's that? What's this covering? Hey, John Davis, what's this covering? Christ's righteousness. I will. Christ came. He said, I will live for them. I will establish a righteousness. I'll cover them in that robe. I'll make that wedding garment. I'll cover them in. I'll take that that child out of that field that's naked. I'll clothe them. I'll say live. I'll deck them with ornaments. I'll give them good works. I'll give them faith. I'll give them repentance. And they will. They'll have it. I'll cover them. I'll die for them. I'll pay their sin debts. And I'll live for them. I'll ever live to make intercession for them. I'll do it. Dictum factum. In verse 6, why did he do this? So that you'll know that he's the Lord. You shall know. It's something all of God's people know. He's the Lord. And many people say it with their lips, don't they? Lord, Lord. Jesus is Lord. But their hearts are far from believing that. But not God's people. They know it from the heart. Hey, he's Lord. What about you? I'm dead. Read on. Let's go on. When I beheld, lo, sinew, what happened? Bones came to bone. I prophesied, verse 7, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, a shaking, the bones came together, bone to bone. One bone to another. And I beheld, lo, why? They came together to get covering. Hey, bone. Came to get together to get covering. And they did. They were covered. Skin came upon them. But there's no breath in. I tell you, when the gospel is preached, a drastic change comes over people. Young mess, there's some dead bones in here. Some young dead bones in here. As I preach, it's obvious to me, obvious to others, that it's just dead. This gospel is just a dead thing. And there's some older ones, too. As I preach, this gospel's falling on dead ears. It's dead. I tell you, when the Lord decides, drastic change takes place. And they stay changed. You know, the thing that scares me, though, is when those that apparently look like they were alive begin to look like they're dead. I see that happening, too. And that's really scary. Drying on the vine, just drying up, just going to wither away. And the reason being, they get out from under the sound of this right here that causes life.
That's what happens. They'll turn into dead, dry bones. And that just grieves me. And I hope it'll grieve some who heard that. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, O breath, when will a man live? When will a man be saved? When will a person be born again? When God decides. When God sends the Holy Spirit through the messenger of a preacher, through the message of the gospel, and says to that dead, dry, blind, poor, miserable, naked, hopeless sinner, live. 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 All right. Brother Joe, have you got a hymn picked out?